I look at those photos every day. Can't get them out of my head. I dream about them at night. I've never had a case affect me the way this one has.
Then you should stop looking at the pictures, Carrie said, despite what she had been thinking about the photographs herself. There's no point in it. You can't make a trial be about your own personal obsession, Chris. You'll lose your perspective. You'll make mistakes. Like this one. Go. Now. He sighed and nodded, then met her gaze with genuine apology in his eyes.
I am sorry.
Carrie said nothing. He turned and walked out, shoving his hands in his pants pockets, the wide shoulders slumping a bit. If this had been a movie, she would have run after him and forgiven him, and they would have ended up in each other's arms in a mad embrace. But it wasn't a movie. This was the real world. She had a job to do. She had a husband. She had a child. She couldn't have Chris Logan. And she knew better than to want him. What she really wanted was someone strong to hold her, support her, shelter her. But she didn't have that. As lonely as it was, she'd learned a long time ago to handle her battles and her insecurities on her own. Carrie put her coat on, slung her purse over one shoulder, and picked up the large old leather briefcase her father had carried when he had sat on the bench as a judge in this same building. She wished she could have gone to him for advice, as she had for most of her life. But Alzheimer's had stolen her father away from her in the last few years. He no longer recognized her, and so all she had of him were things, his gavel, his briefcase, photographs and memories. Feeling hollow and beaten, she left the office. The press would still be waiting outside, hoping in vain that she would come out the main doors. Instead, she took the skyway across the street to the garage where she parked her car, afraid to lose the impressive background shot of the Hennepin County Government Center. None of the television people had decamped to find her elsewhere. She braced herself for confrontation with a newspaper reporter, but the skyway was empty, and most of the cars were gone from the level where Carrie had parked. She would have to consider a uniformed escort now that the news of her ruling had broken, and she felt even more of a coward for thinking it, because she pictured herself hiding behind a deputy, trying to avoid the fallout of her own decision. Lost in her thoughts, she fumbled to dig her keys out of her purse while her Palm Pilot and a lipstick tumbled out. She sighed heavily, set down the briefcase, and bent awkwardly to scoop up the things she had dropped. As she began to straighten, something hit her hard across the back, stunning her, knocking her breath from her. A second blow sent her sprawling forward. The rough concrete tore at the palms of her hands. Her knees hit the surface like a pair of hammerheads. She tried to draw breath to scream, but couldn't. Her purse flew out ahead of her, its contents spewing out, skidding and rolling. Her assailant swung at her again, just missing her head as Carrie shoved herself to the right, one hand outstretched to try to snag her keys. Some kind of club, she couldn't really see it, was just aware of the sound as it struck the concrete. Her assailant cursed. You fucking bitch. You fucking cunt. Not shouting, but a harsh, hoarse, rasping sound full of venom. He fell on her, bouncing her head into the floor like a basketball. Did he mean to kill her? Rape her? Carrie flailed at the car keys, breaking a nail, scraping her fingers, catching hold. Her attacker grabbed her by the hair, yanked her head back. Did he have a knife? Would he slit her throat? She fumbled with the key to her BMW, frantically pushing the buttons. The car's alarm screamed and the lights began to flash. The voice behind her swore again. He slammed her head down. What little breath she had regained huffed out of her as he kicked her hard in the side. Then everything went terrifyingly black.